The Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Masechta Ovish, Mishnah Beis, Shimon HaTzadik Koyim Mishiorei Knesses HaGdolah. Shimon HaTzadik were those who were left from the Knesset HaGdolah, the Great Assembly. Hu haya Eimer. He would say, Ashlesh Dvorim Ha'olim Omid. The world stands on three principles. Ala Torah, Ala Aveda, and Torah, Avoda. Avoda means worship. U'gibilis Chasodim. And the acts of loving kindliness. The world stands on the Almighty. Like the sages say, he is called Hamokom, the place, because Eino Olam Mekeimai, Elohu Mekeimishal Olam. He does not dwell, he does not stand on the world, but rather the world stands on him. And if the world stands on three principles, and he is the foundation of the entire world, it means that these three principles are the chiburim. They bond the world and the people to him. And therefore, man has to approach the Almighty. He has to come to the Almighty from all three of these spectrums. And then his attachment to the Almighty will be complete and in totality. He has to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his intelligence, his mentality, and that's the Torah. He has to serve the Almighty physically and with all of his material possessions. This is Gemilas Chasodim, Chesed. The acts that he does for others, when he shares of his material possessions with others. And then he also has to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with what is known as his nefesh, his inner self, his force of life. And this is avoda. And avoda, the sages say, refer to the avodas beis hamikdash, the worshipping, the serving in the beis hamikdash, in the temple, the korbonis, the sacrifices. Now, a little more explanation in this is that in the time when we had our beis hamikdash and we brought korbonis, what did the korbonis represent? They represented a person bringing to the Almighty a gift, a tribute. And this was returned to its source. The Almighty is the source of all life. Olereach necheach lashem. Like it states, it would go up in a pleasant scent to the Almighty. And in this way, he was as if he was returning himself to the Almighty, to his source. And this is why it was called Korban. Korban comes from the word Korev, his karvus, to come close. And this is why by the Korbanos is written Nefesh ki yakriv. When a person brings a sacrifice, it states a Nefesh. Nefesh means with his life, his most inner self. Ki'ilu hikrivas nafshoi. When he brings a sacrifice and is done properly, this is not bringing the sacrifice close to Hashem, but where he is bringing himself close to Hashem, his most inner self. Now the one who laid the foundation for this first great principle, Gemilas Chasodim Chesed, this was our forefather Avraham Avinu. as the Torah tells us in great detail. He was the great Rodef Chesed. Titein Chesed L'Avraham. The one who was the Mechadish, he was the one who was the trailblazer to serve the Almighty through Torah, through his intelligence and mental capacities. This was Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu, Jacob, as it states, Ishtam. He was a person of Tamimus. Tamimus means completeness in fullness, and this refers to Torah. Torah Sashem Tamimo. Yosheva Olim. He dwelled in the tents of Torah. This is why it states, Titein Emes LeYaakov. Truth was for Yaakov, because Torah is truth. The one who was the trailblazer when it came to the Avoda was Yitzchok. Why? Because Yitzchok, Hikriv es Atzmoy, he gave himself as a sacrifice. When Abraham took him to Har HaMoriah, the place where the Beis HaMikdash was to be built, and bound him, Yitzchok knowingly and willfully gave himself to the Almighty as a sacrifice. Like the Gemara says, Yitzchok says, no one did what I did. Karafti es nafshoi. I gave my very life to the Almighty. This is how I served him. And therefore he is called the Ole Tamimo. He is called the perfect burnt offering, even though he was never offered, but because of the intention and the will. And the Medrash says in Vayikra Rabba Perek Beis, also Hayom, Shehel Avraham Avinu es Yitzchok b'nei al gabi mizbeach. That day that Avraham put Yitzchok on an altar, Tikun HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was that day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu enacted the law of the korbanos for Israel, of the sacrifices for Israel. And he said, Beis Kvosim, Echad b'shachris v'echad b'raboy, that you shall bring two sacrifices every day, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. So we see that he was the Rosh La'aveda, the Rosh Le'korbanos, the trailblazer for that great principle. Now this is in regards to Avoda, in which the Gemara tells us was the worshipping in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara brings in the beginning of Masechta Tainus, ask the question in the second parsha of Krishma, which is found in the Devarim Yud Aleph. We say, V'hoyom shema'a tishmuel mitfasai asher anochi metzav eskem hayom, that if you will listen to my mitzvahs which I am commanding you today, la'avo as Hashem elakechem ula'avdei b'chol levavchem, to love the Lord your God ula'avdei, and to serve him, to worship him b'chol levavchem, with all of your hearts. The Gemara asks, what does it mean ula'avdei b'chol levavchem? Avdei, we said, avoda, this refers to the worship in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple. And that was with sacrifices. And here it states, b'chol levavchem, with your heart. This is not sacrifices. So the Gemara answers, from here we see there's another facet to avoda. Avoda shebelev. There's another facet to serving the Almighty, similar to the way that they served in the Beis HaMikdash, but instead of sacrifices, with one's heart. And from here the Gemara says is our source for tefillah, for prayer. Even though seemingly this is a different approach entirely, this is not sacrifices, But nevertheless, since both are used, are referred to with the same general term, avoda, we see that they are intertwined and related one to another. And we learn from here. Tefillah, prayer, is avoda. It's a worshiping. It's a serving the Almighty, similarly to the way they served him in the Beis Hamikdash, with the korbanos, with the sacrifices. But secondly, prayer must be with lev, with heart. And what does this mean? That just as when they served him in the Beis Hamikdash, it was as if they were bringing their very self close to the Almighty, so with prayer, prayer must be the service of the heart and the emotions, and through this, one brings himself close to the Almighty. This is why David HaMelech, King David, was the great composer and writers of tefillos, of prayers, and of zmiros v'sishboches, praises to the Almighty. And this is why consistently when he refers to the tefillos, he writes, "Mimamakim krosicha Hashem," that I call out to you from my very depths, because it also must be ki'ilu hikriv es nafshoy, as if one is bringing his own very self up to the Almighty. And this is why we consistently find that the tefillahs, the prayers, follow the pattern of the korbanos, of the sacrifices in the Beis Hamikdash. For example, the Gemara says, "Tefillahs keneged hatminim tikonum." The prayers that we say every morning and every afternoon. This was because in the Beis Hamikdash, every morning there was a morning sacrifice, the Tomichil Shachris, and every afternoon there was another sacrifice, the Tomichil Ben Abai. Marev, Tfilas Marev, Hekta Chalovim, because the sacrifices were burnt on the altar then. And we say, Uneshalma Porim Sipsosenu, that when I pour out my heart to you, it will be the same as the bullocks, the bulls and the animals that were brought in the Beis Hamikdash, except these will be the bullocks of my lips. Uneshalma Porim Sipsosenu. And this is why also we find that the Beis HaKnesses, the Mokom HaTfila, the place for prayers of Yisrael, the shuls, were very closely styled after the Beis HaMikdash, after the temple, in many, many ways. On Rosh Hashanah, we spend and we place great emphasis on prayer. We elaborate in the prayers, and we have many praises, zmirais, v'sishboches, the piyutim, the poetry of the reasons why. One is because Rosh Hashanah is specifically set aside for Yitzchok, the power of Yitzchok. It states that Yitzchok was born on Rosh Hashanah. And the greatest chus we constantly mentioned on Rosh Hashanah, because it's the day of Bishpot, the day of judgment, is the chus of the Akedah Yitzchok, of Yitzchok that gave himself on the altar. And Rosh Hashanah is Yom Teruah, the day of the shofar. And the Gemara says, what is a shofar? It's a horn of an animal. Why should it be, therefore, the horn of the idol of the ram? Zeichele Eil Shel Yitzchok. So we will have the schus, the great merit of the ram of Yitzchok that Avraham used to take his place. Excuse me, you're right. He was conceived on Rosh Hashanah. Yes, no. He was born on Pesach and conceived on Rosh Hashanah. And a second reason is because Tfilo is from the Dvorim Shemavirin Es Gzar Din. Tfilo has the power to turn back the evil decree. As it states, Hatfilo Hatshuva Vatstoko Mavirin Es Reyag Zera. Tfilo and Tshuva, repentance, and Stoko and charity. Therefore, on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, the Amud, the pillar of Avoda, plays a prominent role. Now let us try to briefly explain this evening the essence of Tefillah from the aspect of man, the essence of Tefillah from the aspect of the Almighty, and what does it do? What can its results be? The Gemara brings, firstly from the aspect of man, the Gemara brings in Masechta Brachos, Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis. When Reb Lezer, the great Reb Lezer, became sick, Nichnosu Talmidim Levakrei. His Talmidim, the disciples, came to visit him. Amru, they said to him, Rabbeinu, our teacher, Lamdeinu Or Cheschaim Nisko Behem Lechai Lamabo. Teach us the way of life in order that we should also acquire a life in the world to come. So he told them three things. He says, I'll tell you three things if you want Olam Haba. Omelehem, Izaru Bichveit Chavreichem. Firstly, be very careful with the honor of your Chaverim. Be very careful with the honor of your colleagues. Secondly, Ukishatem Mispalalim, Diulifne Miatem Mispalalim. When you are Mispalal, when you pray, when you daven, know who you are davening to, who you are praying to. Umanu b'neichem min ha'agyoim, v'hishivum ben birkei tamidei chachomim. And save your young children from emptiness and from foolishness, and bring them to the tamidei chachomim so they should learn wisdom. U'bishvil kach tishku l'chai l'mabo. And in this manner you will acquire the world to come. One of the three points that he mentioned was regarding tefillah, prayer. And what did he say? That when you are mispalel, know who you are praying to. We have a similar statement from another sage. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Beis Omer Aleph, says, Omer Reb Shimon Chassidoy. Reb Shimon Chassidoy said, Amispalel Tzorech Shiyira Atzmai Ki Ilu Shechina Kenegdoy. The one who davens, he must see himself as if the Shechina, the Almighty, his presence, is just opposite of him. Shneamar, as it states, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tsomit. As David HaMelech said, I will place HaKadosh Baruch Hu opposite of me all of the time. And the sage says this refers to one when one davens. Now we can ask a question here. This is a very good concept, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be right opposite of you. And we find this not only in these two places. This is mentioned many of times. Fact is, in some shuls, they used to have a sign, or still they still do, right in front of where the shliach tzibur, the chazan davens, shvisi Hashem negdi somid, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right in front of me. But we could ask a question. Why don't we find this by Torah? When one learns, he should see himself as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right in front of him. Why don't we find this by mitzvahs? When one does a mitzvah, he should see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right in front of him. No. This is one of the prime points that's brought by tefillah. Keshimisfalo, when one davens, know who you're davening to. See that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right opposite of you. We can understand this if we understand another question. And that is, why is tefillah referred to as avoda? We said that it's called avoda vavaratem. Avoda comes from the word, we said it means to serve, to worship. Actually comes from the word eved. Eved means a servant, a real servant, a slave. Why is that word used for tefillah? Or also in the Beis HaMikdash, Avoda. The answer to this is, the essence of an Eved, the Gemara tells us, is Gufo Ikono Il Rabbi. He is owned totally by his master. And therefore, he rely totally on his master. His life was dependent on his master. His parnoso, his sustenance, everything that he owned belonged to the master. Kol ma shekoneh eved kone rabbi. And especially if his master was a great master, or if he was a melech, a king, a meishel, a ruler. And how much more so if he was the melech malchei amelochim, the king of all kings. What is the approach of a servant to his master? The approach is that my entire life is yours. You rule me. You sustain me. And when it comes to a great king, or certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you give me life. And therefore, I am totally dependent and reliant on you. And an Eved is totally dependent. He is not an independent individual by himself. So he merely blends in to that of the master. This is an Eved. From here we can understand what the essence of tefillah is. Tefillah means that one comes to the master, to the king of all kings, as his servant. Totally reliant on him. Totally in need of him. Where he has no independence whatsoever. And his life is determined by the master, his sustenance, everything that he needs. To the point where he blends into the master himself. This is tefillah. And therefore this is why tefillah is called avoda. Ke'eved kamei rabbi. Like a servant before a mighty master. Now, if this is the essence of tefillah, so we understand now that why by tefillah, kishatem mispalalim, deo lifnei miyatem mispalalim, that when you are davening, you have to know who you're davening to. Or, tzorech hamispalel, that the one who davens has to realize shahashchina kenegdei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is opposite of him. If he does not realize that, then his bottle is nullified, the whole essence of tefillah. The whole essence of Eved L'Rabbi, of a servant to his master. And this is why we find this emphasis when it comes to prayer and tefillah in a manner that we do not find it by other mitzvahs or by the study of Torah. Now, from here we understand what the sages say. Tefillah min advarim she'emdim berume shelaylam. The power of prayer, that's a power that brings a person to the greatest heights of the world. Because when a person approaches prayer properly, he attaches himself and bonds himself totally to the king, to the master. So totally, where he nullifies his whole entity. No longer is an independent entity. We come and we say, give us life. Why? Because we have no life on our own. Zochreinu lechayim. We come and we say, give us panoso. Barech aleinu. Why? Because we have no panoso on our own. Give us atochanein ladom das. Give us intelligence. Because we have no intelligence on our own. Refa'einu. Give us healing. Because we have none on our own. He is nullifying totally his own entity to the point where he leans and relies totally on the entity of the master. So this is misachid. He unites himself totally with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's emdi merume shaleilom. It's at the greatest heights of the world, because this is an enormous elevation for a person. If a person nullifies himself to something, heaven forbid, that's very low, then he falls. If he nullifies himself to something which is the greatest force in the world, then he rises to become part of that great force. And this also means that tefillah is from the greatest displays of emun and bitochen, of belief and trust in the Almighty. Because who's he pouring his heart out to? Who's he asking? Why are you asking all of these things from the Almighty? What are you asking him for life for? For panosa, for refuah, for chokhma, for wisdom. Ask someone else. This is a declaration that hu echod, he is the only one. Ve'ein ol milvadei, and there's no one else besides him. And this is why when a person comes and he knows who he's been mispalel before, and he sees the Shekhinah in front of him, this is the greatest display of emun and bitochen, because he realizes that he is the only one who can answer him and give him those things. And this is why it states that this was the same as the worship in the Beis HaMikdash. Who did we bring sacrifices to? Who did we worship? This is why it states that the Beis HaMikdash was just the opposite of the Avodah Zarah of the idolaters. Because the idolaters went, and they went to the sun, and they went to the moon, and they went to the oceans, and they went to the animals, and they went to the snakes, whoever they went to. But we went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a manifestation of an emunah shleima, of a total belief and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This brings an enormous dveikus, a cleaving and bonding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what it states in Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, said in Mishlei Chof Aleph, Zevach Rishoyim Te'evo Usfila Shishorim Ritzeinai. The sacrifice of the evil HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want. This is an abomination to him. When evil people bring him sacrifices, he says he rejects them. It's an abomination. Tfilas Yeshorim, the prayers of the Yoshur, of the upright, Retzeinai, this he wants, he desires. And Yeshorim means upright and straight. And this means that a person can cleave to the essence of the Almighty's desire and intent with prayer. And he can rise to such a height, which is the height that brings one to Olam Haba, the world to come. This is why Rabbi Lezer told his disciples, you want to have a life and world to come, so di'u, know who you are being mispalo to, who you are davening to. The Zevach of the Rishoyim, though, is just the opposite. What does a Rosha do? A Rosha brings a gift, he brings a sacrifice to a king, to the Almighty. But he doesn't want to be his servant. This is why he's a Rosha. What does the Rosha say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach? Mo'aveda azayis lochem. What is this avoda to you, but not to me? Doesn't want to serve the Almighty. If he wanted to serve the Almighty, then he would keep mitzvahs, he wouldn't be a Rosha. So then why is he bringing a Zevach? Why is he bringing this to the king, to the Almighty? He's bringing it as a gift, as a sheikhet. It's like a gift, like a bribery to curry favor by him. And that the Almighty says, I need animals. Does it lack me animals? I lack gifts. I want you. I'm not interested in your gifts. I'm not interested in your animals. I created the animals. I need animals from you. I want you. I want your nefesh. I want your very self. Bimamakim krosicho. It's an avoda of nefesh ki ilu hikriv nafshoi. It's avoda shebalev. I want you. I want your heart. This is what I want. Therefore, tfilis yeshorim retzono. I want the prayers of the yeshorim of the upright. And yeshorim refers specifically also to Yisrael. He waits for those prayers. Because they are not bringing me animals. They are not bringing me words. But their heart and soul is bound up in what they're bringing. They're bringing me themselves. But the Rosho, the evil, he stays away from me. He rebels against me. And he sends me a gift. So the king says, I need this gift. Zevach Rishoim Te'eva, that the sacrifice of the evil is abominable, rejects it. So this is tefillah from the aspect of man. What is it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's aspect? As we mentioned, it states tefillah shishorim ritzeinai. He wants the prayers of the upright. We see from here that he desires their prayers. Now, we can ask a question, but we've gone a good way to answer it already. A question that is always asked. What does he want prayers for? If he wants to grant them what they ask for, and if it's due to them, so then let him grant it without a prayer. If he wants to give them life, he wants to give them panosa, prosperity, or whatever it might be, so then even without the prayer. If he does not want to give them this, it is not due to them, so then what good is the prayer? The answer to this is what we were speaking about. The Almighty is not interested so much in the prayer. he is interested not so much in the tefillah, but rather in the mishpalel. Not so much in the prayer, but in the one who's bringing him to prayer. A master and a servant is not interested in the words of the servant. He's interested in the servant, in the loyalty of the servant, in the mesira, the giving over of himself. He wants the avoda. He wants the avdus. This is what he wants from Israel. And this is what he waits for. And therefore, he says, Tfilis Yeshorim Ratzenai, that I want their tfilis. When they come to me, and if they come to me properly, then they are bringing themselves close to me. This is what I want. When one brings themselves close to me, then they're coming to the source of brocha, to the source of blessing. If a person does not bring tefillahs to Hashem, but he stays far away, then he's distant. He's distant. He's far away from the source of brocha. This is the explanation in what our sages tell us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misaver letfilosim shel tzadikim. He waits and he desires for the prayers of the righteous. And not only does he wait and desire for the prayers of the righteous, but many times, many, many times, he'll create a situation to force the righteous to have to be mispalel to him because he waits for these tefillahs. For example, the Medrash tells us, ask the question, Loma osa akorish borcho yima osa akorish. Why do we find that our matriarchs were barren? Sora was an akora. We find Rivka was an akora. We find Rochel was an akora. Why? Something very strange. So the Medrash answers, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kulan knows, they're all very beautiful, all of the matriarchs. Kulan Ashirais, they were very, very wealthy. If I'll give them children, so then what will they need me for? And they won't come and cry to me, or Pimispal, they won't come to pray to me. Therefore, he made them akores barren in order that they should come to pray. It's like the story that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a father and a mother. A father and a mother do not like to be considered redundant or irrelevant. But they like, no matter how old their children are or how old they are, they like to feel that they are needed and can provide something to the children that the children cannot provide to themselves. Otherwise, what do they need me for? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and the matriarchs were outstanding beauties. So Sora states was one of the most beautiful women of creation. Abraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov became wealthy, wealthy people. They had everything. If I'll give them children, I will be redundant. They will not come to me. Therefore, he held back the children in order that they should come. A second example, it states that when Klal Yisrael was running out of Egypt and they came to the sea and they looked in front of them and there was the raging sea. And they looked to the sides, and there was the Midbar, the desert, with full of snakes and scorpions. And they looked behind them. And behind them it states, Upare Hikriv, Parai and his army was coming close. They had no way to turn. What did they do? It states, Vayitzaku El Hashem. They couldn't look forward, they couldn't look to the side, they couldn't look backwards. So they had to look up. And it says that they cried out to Hashem. And the Medrash says, Pare hikriv. Parai, it doesn't say Parai came close, but rather the grammar seems to say he made them come close. Parai made them come closer to the Almighty than 100 fast days could have made them come. Because of the tzora, because of the crisis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed Yisrael in. And generally, many times we have a problem, but we see a way out. So we feel we're glücklich, we're fortunate, we see a way out. But sometimes we have a problem where we see no solution, no way out. Trapped. Because they were trapped by Parai. He made them come closer to me, Parai Hikriv, Mekuf Tsumais, than 100 fast days. Because now they couldn't look forward for an escape route, or backwards, or right or left. They had to look up to me. And this is why he did that. In order, Vayitzaku, that they should cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash gives an example. States a king was walking along a road one day, and there was a young maiden, and bandits came and they wanted to harm her. So the king ran, she screamed, he ran and he saved her, and she thanked him profusely. Fine. And then when the king started to think about her, she was such a young, beautiful, fine maiden, he wanted to speak to her again. But she was very, very shy. She kept her distance and she wouldn't speak to him. And he would send many messages and she wouldn't come and she wouldn't speak to him. So one day he thought of a plan. He told his servants, when she's walking, make off that you're bandits and attack her, and then she'll scream. And then I'll come and save her, and she'll have to talk to me. So this is what he did. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael doesn't want to talk to him. They go to other directions. They go away from him. So he has to think of ways to get them to come and to talk to him. And to come close to him. Another example. The Gemara brings in Masechet Megillah. And Daf Yud Aleph. Vayosar HaMelech Estabate. King Achashverosh, he took off his ring and he gave it to Haman, Arosho. With that ring beheld the power of life and death. And that was the signet ring which Haman stamped all of the proclamations that were sent all over the world. Lahashmi Lahare Galabed, to kill and destroy Kol HaYehudim, all of the Jews. What did the Jews do? Mordechai came to Esther. And Esther said, all right, Tzuma alai, Gimel Yomim, Shleish Yomim. Fast for 3 days. Tell everyone they must fast for 3 days. They must not eat or drink. And I, the queen, and Gam Naresa, and my maid servants also will fast. And a tzom, a fast day, means a Yom Tzoko. It's the tefillah. And let them pray for their lives to the Almighty. and I will go to Ahasuerus. What made them fast for 3 days, day and night, and to pray to the Almighty? The fact that this ring was given from Ahasuerus to Haman. Because had he not given it to Haman, Haman wouldn't have been able to sign the letters. And had he not signed the letters, there would have been no Tzora. And there would have been no Tzora, they wouldn't have come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, G'dayla ha-soras tabash yeser mi-arboim u-shmein ha-nevim v'sheva nevi-yosh in Istanbul-an Yisrael. That passing over of the ring from the hand of Ahasuerus to the hand of Haman did more for Yisrael, more good for Yisrael than all of the prophets and the prophetesses, 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses that ever prophesied for Yisrael. Shekulan la'exirim lamutov, vila asores tabosik sirosan lamutov. Because no prophet ever had that effect of bringing Klal Yisrael so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Purim did. So close that it states, kimu v'kiblu, it was another Kabbalah HaTorah. They accepted the Torah again and they even added mitzvahs to it. And we see this even at the beginning of the creation of the world. When the world was created, it states, in Bereshis Beis, Posuk Hei, V'chol siach hasod terem yevo oretz, V'chol esev hasod terem yitzmoch. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the whole world, but nothing was growing yet. Why wasn't anything growing? Because he hadn't brought the rains yet. Why didn't he bring the rain? Because there was no man. Rashi explains why nothing was growing, because even though everything was created, he hadn't brought the rains. Why did he not bring the rains? Because there was no man yet. So what does this have to do with it? And he wanted to wait for man to be created, to see that the world needs rain, and there is no rain, and then man will be forced to come and be mispalel and pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that the whole reason why he hadn't brought the rain yet, in order to force man into a situation where there'll be a lack in the world, and then he'll have to come and be mispalel. From here we see that not like common belief, that we believe that prayer resolves crises. Just the opposite. Many, many times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings crises in order to be mechayev, in order to force us to pray. Not that there's a crisis, and now we pray to resolve it. To the contrary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the crisis in order that we should pray and resolve it. What for? Because he's misavel et filosim, shel tzadikim. He waits for the tfilos. And if they don't come, then he has to do something to see that they'll come. And why does he wait for the tfilos? Because tfilah was not merely a mechanism to resolve crises. In that case, don't bring the crisis and you won't need the mechanism that will resolve it. But tfilah was avoda, was the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to man that they can come close to him. And if they come close to him, then it's not necessary the crisis. If they are distant from him, then he uses the crisis to bring them close. And this is what is meant when it states, terem yikru v'ani ane. Before they call to me, I have already answered. What does that mean? I have answered before they called to me. My answer is here waiting. I am waiting to give them good. But they don't call to me. So I will have to do something to force them to call to me in order that I can give them the good. Therefore, terem yikru v'ani aneh, before they call, I'm already answered. My answer is here already. The answer is here, they're not coming to get it. What does tefillah do? We said this was from the perspective now of man, and this was from the perspective of the Almighty. What does actually the tefillah do? The tefillah, we said, it's a proclamation of total belief in the Almighty. Otherwise, why are you asking him these things? Why are you relying on him? The proper tefillah, where you know who you're davening to. And it creates a dveikus and iskarbus. The proper tefillah brings man close to the Almighty. This is what he wants. Now, when we say it brings him close to, brings the person close to him, it is for this reason, this is very important, that our sages say, a proper tefillah, z'yef sheshiyach zereikon. It's impossible that it should return empty. A proper prayer is impossible that it should be returned empty-handed. Why? Is it possible for a man to come next to a fire without getting the warmth? It's impossible. You come close to a fire, you feel warmer. You come a little closer, you feel warmer. The closer you become, you come, the warmer, the hotter the fire gets. It's impossible to go close and not feel the warmth. It's impossible to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not come away with something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all life, and he's the source of all brocha, and he's the source of all goodness. Then it's impossible to come close to him without walking away with brocha, without walking away with goodness. And therefore it's impossible that a tefillah should return empty-handed. And we must realize that this power of tefillah is a schus godel, is a great merit that was given in particular to Israel. It was given to the whole world, but in particular to Israel. Why? Because we go right to the king. Not only do we go right to the king of all kings, but b'chol eish, anytime we want. Not only three times every day, the tefillah is of the tzibur, but anytime. Do you know what that is? Let's learn from Esther. Mordechai came to Esther in a panic, in a terror, and he said, go immediately to the king. And she was the queen, and appealed to him to retract the proclamations. What did she say? She said, Mordechai, in all due respect, you don't go to the king whenever you want. Ani leini kreisi shleishim yayim. You go to the king when he summons you. And if you go to the king when he does not summon you, achas dosoi, lahomish, then death is the penalty. And I have not been summoned for 30 days. This is what she answered Mordechai. And she was the queen. She wasn't a commoner. And the sages say that even when she went to the queen all the time, to the king, he never spoke to her directly. He spoke to her through an emissary. He was the mighty king. Now, Ahasuerus, what does he compare? La'abdil l'elef abdolus ta'kodesh baruch hu. You don't go to the king and speak to him. You speak to his shluchim, his emissaries, his angels, his shluchim, whatever it is. You go when you're summoned. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, tefilas yeshorim ritzena. He waits for the tefilas of the yeshorim of Israel. And they come to him whenever they want. And they speak to him, not to his emissaries, and not to his angels. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Aveda Zorah that if someone prays to an angel, that's Aveda Zorah, that's idolatry. We are not allowed to pray to an angel. We must pray to our Kodesh Baruch. Where do we get such a right? Even in the lowly world that we live in, if it's the academic world, you don't go right to the dean of the university. If it's in the business world, you don't go to the president of the corporation. The army, you don't go to the commander-in-chief. No, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't you dare pray to an angel. You come and you speak to me. This is what he told every Jew. Tfilas Yeshorim Ritzayna, he waits for the tfilas of Klal Yisrael, of the upright, not of the Rishoyim, of the wicked, he says. That's te'eva, that's an abomination. But of those who want to give themselves to me, he waits. He has forbade us to speak to anyone else. In one of the slichus, mentioned this many times, in one of the slichus that we say prior to Rosh Hashanah, it states, Machnisei Rachamim, let the angels carry our prayers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That tefillah was contested. There were many that held it should be removed from the slichus. What do you mean the angels should carry in our prayers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to give you an idea further, the Gemara says in Masechet Tainus that we quoted, the Mishnah says, Maskirin Shomim, when we pray for rain, where do we pray for rain? Bigvurais. Where do we say, Mashiv Aruach HaMeirid HaGoshem? In the beginning of the Shemayin Esrei. And where do we say, Shalin V'sein Talamot Livrocha? There we say in the Barocha of Borech Aleinu. So Kshomim, we ask, rain we ask for in the Shemayin Esrei and in Tfilo. Mora asked the question. The Mora asks, the Gemara asks, "Uminolon de betfilo." How do we know that we should ask for rain in the tefila, during the Shemayin Esrei? Maybe we should ask for it another time. So it brings the pasuk that we brought, and the pasuk in the second parsha of Krishma, it states, Lavos Hashem Elokeichem, lo ovdei b'chol levavchem, you shall serve him with all of your heart. We said that's tefillah, service of the heart. V'nasati matar atzichem b'ito, and then it states, I will give you rain in its proper time. So we see that when one serves with his heart, this brings on the rain. Then the Gemara brings from Rabbi Yechanan, Gimel maftoches b'yodah shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are three keys in the hand of the Almighty, which he has not given to any other emissary, to any other angel. What are these three keys? The three keys are the keys to life, a newborn baby, kshomim, rains, and tchias amesim, the resurrection of the dead. Those three treasure houses that hold these brochas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps those keys for himself. He gives it to no one else. Now we say that when we want rain, it says, Olav de b'chol avavachem, serve him with your heart, be mishpalel, and he'll bring rain. We're here, we're going to the highest keys in the world, to the highest places in the world. Because right after it states, Olav de b'chol avavachem, it states, v'nasati matar atzachem b'ito, I will give you rain in its proper time. So we see how far the power of prayer can go, to the strongest locked, concealed brochas of the world that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards. The prayers of Yisrael can penetrate. One final point, and that is, even though we have to approach tefillah as an eved kamei rabbe, as a servant before his master, and therefore it has to be mimamaki, from the depths, or like David HaMelech writes so many times, he says, tefillah lo'oni, a prayer of a poor person, supplication, tachnunim, appeals. Or he writes, nafshi l'ashem, my life goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Siach nafshi, I pour out the words of my heart to you. Im kolze, nevertheless though, we find this is true, but at the same time, we also have to approach Hashem b'simcha, with simcha. Why? Because you were just given an appearance to the King of all kings. And it states you cannot come to a king belavush sok. You don't come, it states, when Mordechai dressed up in sackcloth, but he only went a certain distance away from the palace. You don't come to the king like that. And since we are given now an opportunity and an appearance with the King of all kings, we must come with supplication, but at the same time we must come with a great simcha also, because we are able to speak to the king. And this is why, and this is what the Gemara brings in Masechta Erechim. Gemara says in Erechim Daf Yud Aleph, it says minayin le'ikushir min haTorah, in the Beis Hamikdash there was beautiful song. The Gemara talks about the song of the Beis Hamikdash, the Shiras HaLevim. The song of the Levim was so beautiful. Not only the vocal music, but the instrumental music also, that we don't have it today. Not only we can compare it to today's music, that's something else, but to the greatest compositions of the greatest masters of the time, it's incomparable. It was lost from us with the Beis Hamikdash. Certain sprinklings were left, but this was concealed. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, it'll be back when the Mashiach comes and we rebuild our Beis Hamikdash. But this was the song in the Beis Hamikdash. Now the Gemara wants to know, who told us there should be song in the Beis Hamikdash? Where does it say should be sung in the Beis Hamikdash with all types of instruments? But heaven forbid, not what you see today, and not even what you see today at Jewish chassidus. I'll tell you two stories on that. One story I've said before, but one was a new story, that I once had a Rosh Yeshiva in my house from the Vardik. This was in America yet. And he told me he doesn't go to chasanas in New York because the noise is too much for him. So I asked him, but wasn't it in Europe like that? He says, Vosreta, what are you talking about? He says, Mich gespielt mit a fiddle. He says, we played with a fiddle, it was ruhig, it was quiet, it was beautiful. That's an old story, but now I can tell you a new story. I was at a function just recently, and they had a string quartet for musical background. It wasn't a chasana, but a string quartet. And I met an old lady coming out, and I asked her, did you enjoy the function? She said, yes, she enjoyed the music. All right, fine. because old people today have a hard time going to keeping up with the young people. But then she told me something. She says, it reminded me of the heim. It reminded me of home. It's an old Litvisher woman. I said, what do you mean it reminded me of the home? She says, that's how they played in the home. With a fiddle. With a fiddle. Okay? So don't think that these things, this is another person who is a very musician, a Fruma musician, says you should know that all of this today that you see, this is rock. It was taken from the rock. It was not taken from traditional music. But we're speaking, the Gemara wants to know the Shir of the Levim. The Shir of the Levim that even the masters of music could not come to. But why does it have a place in the Beis HaMikdush? Where do we learn it from? So the Gemara says in Erech, Minayin li kashira min haTorah. It's trying to find a source that the Shira of the Torah, in the Torah, so it states, Omar of Masta, Omar Hocha, Tachas Asher lo avarato, Asher melekecho, besimcha, v'tuv leivov. Because you did not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuked the people, this was in Parshas Kisove, just what we just learned recently. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuked the people that you did not serve me, besimcha, and with goodness of your heart. Now what does avoda mean? Asher lo avarato. That goes on the Beis HaMikdash. So what does it mean, serving in the Beis HaMikdash with simcha and goodness of your life? Heviyayim mezushiro. From here is a proof that you had to, when we served in the Beis HaMikdash, it had to be with a rejoicing of simcha. And what brings a person to simcha? Song and music. This is what the Gemara says. Now, it's one source. There's another source also. The Gemara brings a posuk in Malachim. In Malachim Aleph Perches, posuk of Ches, when Shlomo HaMelech finished building the Beis HaMikdash, he said, "Ufonis el tfilas abdecho ve'el tchinose Hashem elekoi." He said a supplication to Hashem. He said, "Please pay heed to our prayers, to our supplications. Lishmaya el horino ve'el atfilo." To listen to the rino. Rino is the song and the tfilo. And the supplication, asher abdecho mispala lefanecha ayim, which your servant is praying before you today. Now, tefillah we understand. Listen to our supplications, to our prayers. But what does it mean, rino? Listen to our song? So the Gemara brings from here, the Gemara says in Masechet Berachos, and Avov, Tanya Abba Binyamin Aimer, Ein tefillah shel adam nishmas, that the prayer of a person is heard by Hashem, the Beis HaKnesses. In the Beis HaKnesses, it's heard far better in a shul or in a Beis HaMedrash, where there's a place which is set aside for tefillah, than in other places. Why? Shenemar, as it states, Lishmai al harino ve'al tefillah, that you should hear, brings this posuk, hear our song and our prayer. That the prayer should be in a place of song. And a Beis HaKnesses is a place of song. Why is a Beis HaKnesses a place of song? So Rashi explains, Beis HaKnesses Shishom Emrim Hatzibo Shirais Visishbochais Bidimus Kol Orev. Because it's in a Beis HaKnesses, a shul, is where the Tzibor sings beautiful songs, songs of beauty, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, this is the same source, because we said tefillah is intertwined with Avedis Beis HaMikdash, just like in the Beis HaMikdash. It was the Eved, it was the servant, bringing his supplications to his master. But at the same time, though, it had to be with a rejoicing, because when you're in the presence of a king, you have to rejoice. When you have the opportunity to bring your supplications to the king, you have to rejoice. And therefore, it has to be Asher avarato besimcha v'tuv leivov. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you did not serve me, you must serve me with a rejoicing. And therefore we knew that there must be a shira, the most beautiful song in the Beis HaMikdosh. And Shlema Melech, King Solomon, appealed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should accept our prayers and you should accept our song. And the Gemara says, where are the prayers heard? Only in a place of Rina, the Mokam Rina. And this is the Beis HaKnesses. This is why that before we come to bring our supplications to the Almighty, in the beginning of the Shemayin Esrei, we speak of Gvurais, of His greatness, and praise Him. This we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Vayeshev. And the Maral says this is the reason why that the Chazal enacted Zmirais, songs, in the Tefillah before the Shemayin Esrei. The Psuki de Zimra. Psuki de Zimra is they went and they collected the most beautiful psukim of Zmiris, of songs and praises from David HaMelech, and enacted them in the Tefillah. So therefore, when one approaches HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bavaratim, it has to be as a servant who totally loses his own identity and becomes part of the Almighty. And this raises him up to the highest heights, to the heights which are equal to a world to come. And this is why he has to know who he's been mispalot to, because this is the essence of tefillah. If he doesn't, then is nullified the whole tefillah. But at this end, and it's impossible then that it should return empty, because you cannot come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not come away with something. Just as you cannot come close to a great fire and not feel warmth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits for this. He's not interested in the gift, he's interested in the giver. Nafshoi Krovai, Yitzchok said, I gave Hashem myself. But Lishmaya alat Rina velat filo, it must be b'mokam Rina. It must be a supplication, but at the same time with a rejoicing, like we had in the Beis HaMikdosh and like we have in the Beis HaKnesses. We should be zeicher that the tefillah shel Klal Yisrael, the prayers and supplications of Klal Yisrael, should come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and those delivering the prayers should come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they will be heard and answered from the many, many tzoros, crises, which exist and surround Israel today, Eretz Israel, South Africa, and all over. And we should all be signed and sealed for a year of Chaim and Shalom.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.